Tarlehurst End podcast.
By Reading fans, for Reading fans.
Hello and welcome to the Tarlehurst End weekend preview. For the second week in a row, Reading look to be heading into a game without a manager as the search for Paul Clement's replacement continues ahead of the trip to fellow strugglers Rotherham. My name is Ollie Allen, your host for today's show, and I'm pleased to say that I'm joined once again by the Working in Papers, Tom Crocker. How's it going, Tom?
Yeah, not too bad. I was at the women's game last night, so I've just about thawed out from that one. But yeah, it's been, another interesting week, should we say, off the field, and not things getting too much better on the field either. So yeah, not in the best of spirits, I don't think, anyone at the moment.
No, was that a penalty shootout defeat for the women yesterday against Liverpool?
Yeah, it was. It's a group game, so you get an extra point if you win the shootout. They lost that, so they're still not through just yet. But yeah, the management weren't too pleased. They refused to send anyone out for interview afterwards because they sort of threw that game away. They should have won it comfortably. But yeah, two draws in a week, and that's their last game until the new year now, so it could be a disappointing Christmas break for the players, I think.
Well, I saw that Kelly Chambers, the manager, got the manager of the month, I think, was it, for the WSL for November. And I sort of thought to myself that she might be able to take over the men's team. But we will move on to that managerial situation because, you know, we did the podcast this time last week reacting to the news of Paul Clement sacking. You know, we said that sort of all the hope and sort of all the signs pointed towards getting in a new boss in time for this Rotherham game. Alas, that does not seem to be what will happen. Scott Marshall, the under-23s manager, set to take charge once again. He took the press conference yesterday. One man who looked like he could be the new boss was Luis Castro, heavily linked over the course of last weekend, but he confirmed on Monday that he would be staying at Portuguese club Vitória Guimarães. Do you think that sort of scuppered Reading's plans a little bit, Tom? Obviously, you know, they've sort of seen their search for a new manager not quite gone as hoped. I mean, because, you know, it did certainly seem logical, at least, to get a new boss in for this Rotherham game.
Certainly seems that way, doesn't it? I think we said, I'm trying to lose track of what days we'd been doing this, but I think it was this, like I say, this time last week, it felt like the fact they'd made it so close to the Sheffield United games made it seem like they had somebody probably lined up. Otherwise, they would have done it maybe earlier in the week and then started to have a look around. But like I say, the Castro one was the one that came to the fore, and they were obviously waiting until Monday, and he made the decision to stay where he was, it looks like. So now it seems to be sort of back to the drawing board a little bit. There's obviously names they've got on the list to work through, but it's taken probably a little bit longer than maybe they've hoped. It's a big call, so they don't want to rush it. But at the same time, I think they did essentially sacrifice that Sheffield United game by getting rid of Clement and so soon to the game. There was not a lot Marshall could do really in those 2 days to do much. You nearly got a draw against Sheffield United, but it would have been somewhat fortunate. And then now you go into another game, arguably the biggest game of the season so far. I'd say they really need to get something out of this game against Rotherham at the weekend, otherwise they're going to be stuck in the bottom three with difficult games coming up over Christmas. So there's two games now where they've got no permanent boss and no closer just yet, I don't think, to find one. Like I say, that Marshall will be taking the game on Saturday. I think that became pretty apparent on Wednesday, really. That was when, by the time they hadn't got anybody in for Wednesday training, the players are off on today, Thursday, and they travel up on Friday. So they had to get somebody in by Wednesday, really, if they wanted them to be in charge. And yeah, as we stand now, it's going to be Marshall keeping charge of things, and hopefully they can get somebody in before the game the following weekend. I think the only blessing maybe is there's no sort of midweek games at the moment. So they're only sort of missing out a couple of games at a time, one game a week with no boss. So hopefully they can get somebody in ready for the game next Saturday and over the Christmas breaks. You don't really want to be carrying on with a caretaker for those Christmas games, and you want to get somebody in now, really, ahead of the January window. I think that was probably one of the main reasons why they got rid of Clement now, to give a new manager that time. But yeah, it's not happened this week, and it's going to rumble on over the weekend and into early next week, I think.
But it's not really clear at the moment who will come in. Phil Parkinson, the Bolton manager, and of course former Reading player, currently the favourite with the bookmakers behind him. Luis Castro is still second in the odds. I think that's probably just because his are sort of now falling away after he confirmed that he wouldn't be taking the job. Slavica Jokanović behind him, Tim Sherwood, worryingly, has popped up and on the odds list. Another couple of Portuguese managers, Jose Manuel Gomes, who I think is in charge of Rio Ave in Portugal, and Vitor Pereira, manager of Shanghai SIPG in China. Steve Bruce still knocking about on there as well. A couple of former Reading names as well, Jason Roberts and Steve Sidwell. Seem to have found themselves onto the odds list, the likes of Gareth Ainsworth, who has been sort of talked a little bit about this week. But, you know, there's been a lot of talk about sort of a potential shortlist being drawn up. Tom, do those sort of seem to be the sort of names that, you know, that are on it?
I mean, those sort of names, it feels like there's very much two different camps, doesn't it, really? You look at the list of Portuguese names, there's clearly somebody trying to push for one of them, and then you look at people like Parkinson, and you mentioned Robertson Sidwell there. There's that very much fits the sort of, I suppose, the Reading way, if you like, and what's come out from the statement when they got rid of Paul Clement. So yeah, it feels like there's maybe a couple of parties pulling in different directions. I think that's quite possibly what's been going on. And Castro may be the first choice, it seems. Obviously, he turned it down, so it feels like they would have probably offered it to him had he wanted it. That's the sort of noises that we're hearing from the Reading side. But it's, yeah, now there's, I think it's probably more likely, you say Parkinson, I think it's top of that list at the moment, and his situation is obviously massively complicated by the goings on at Bolton and the financial situation there, and whether he'd walk away from all that. Obviously, you probably would quite like the Reading job. It may be a sense of loyalty to what's been going on there. He kept them up, and yeah, whether he'd just leave them in the lurch, if you like. But it's, yeah, I think he would probably take it if offered. But on the flip side, Bolton probably will be wanting to get a bit of money out of Reading for compensation, probably possibly more than you'd imagine, just to ease their fears a little bit financially. So that'll complicate things there, whether Reading want to push hard for that one or move for some of those other names down that list. That's why I think it's taken a little bit of time, because they haven't quite got their first or second choice nailed down and managed to get them in. So I think they're trying to take a bit of time to get it right, rather than paying over the odds for somebody and having to then pay them off again in a few months' time, like they did with Clement maybe. So I think that's what's delaying things, and it's far from ideal, but I suppose in the long run you hope that they can get the right man rather than just getting the man who's easily available, I suppose.
The owners actually do seem to be sort of quite, you know, fairly happy to sort of spend money on a new manager. I mean, you want to believe the reports in Portugal about Luis Castro, about the amount of compensation that Reading might have been paying Vitória, you know, and sort of the money that he might have been coming in on wages-wise. But I think, you know, this uncertainty around who will be the next manager certainly isn't great preparation, you know, for this Rotherham game either, which you said. I mean, Scott Marshall probably wouldn't have been expecting to have been preparing for this game as well as the Sheffield United game last weekend. I'd imagine he probably would have thought it would have been just that game for him, and then he would have let someone else take over. But, you know, whereas you might have hoped to, you know, sort of pinpoint this game as one to get something out of, you know, I think certainly with the situation Reading are now in, it does set Rotherham up as the favourites for this one. They are 11-10 to get the win, according to OddsChecker, #GamblerAware. That makes them the favourites with them as well. Reading are 12-5, and the draw is 5-2. Is that fair for you, Tom?
I don't know. Rotherham are a tricky one to sort of pin down, aren't they? I think they've only won one of the last 13 games, which, when you hear it like that, you wonder how they're above Reading, but they don't lose very many either. So it's, I think, only one defeat at home all season, I think it is as well. And they're that win in those 13 games with two late penalties against Swansea, they're quite fortunate in that game as well. So it's a game that, in ordinary circumstances, you'd look at and say Reading should be getting something out of it, really. But yeah, given what's been going on in terms of Marshall, the way he was speaking after last Saturday actually is interesting. He did sort of sound as if he would be in charge for the whole weekend for the Rotherham game. So what exactly he's been told, he's keeping cards to his chest a little bit both times we've spoken to him so far. So yeah, possibly just saying what he has to say, really, rather than knowing too much about what's going on. He said himself he's sort of just been reading the speculation. I don't think he's got too much of an inside track. He's just getting on with what he can at the moment. But yeah, it's one Rotherham, they'll look at it and think it's another great chance for them to get a home win and pull away from the bottom three. I think if they win, well, they're above Reading, aren't they? So they'll be, what, 5 points clear of the bottom three, maybe, if they win, something like that.
I think they're 3 points above now, so it'd be
six points. So that'll be a massive thing for them if they can get that win. And I'm sure they'll be putting all their eggs into this game, a home game against a team with no manager who can't be, I don't think Reading haven't won on the road for a long time either. So yeah, certainly I can see why they would be favourites. But in terms of the players and their ordinary circumstances, you would back Reading, but it's very difficult to see how they're going to react to the news. Obviously, last weekend they didn't react very well. They were poor against Sheffield United, but a whole week, who spoke with Gareth McCleary on Wednesday, he sort of said Marshall's got a new way of playing that he's implementing, so we'll have to see what exactly that entails on Saturday. But yeah, it's one that Rotherham, I think, will probably, that's just about right. They would be favourites going into it.
We'll get on to Rotherham in just a little minute, but I mean, I was going to mention that Sheffield United game, because, you know, if that performance is anything to go by, you know, we might not have much hope at all. I mean, it was incredible that they didn't score until the 83rd minute, as Reading gave them plenty of opportunities, and indeed Reading didn't have a single shot on target themselves. And, you know, obviously, you know, Sheffield United are a side fighting towards the top of the Championship, you know, but did sort of that game suggest it'll take a lot more perhaps than a change of manager for Reading to get out of the mess that they're currently in?
It certainly said that whoever comes in has got a massive job on their hands. I think there's a lot of problems in that team. There's players missing, which obviously doesn't help, but I think that's the same for every team, really. And when you looked at it, had it finished 0-0 with those no goals in those last 10 minutes, you would have said it's probably a decent enough point after the week. Yeah, after the week that Reading had. I think the first half was poor from both sides, really. Sheffield United wouldn't have been particularly pleased with what they'd done in the first half either, even though they missed a couple of pretty good chances. But I think they had a ball in the net twice, didn't they, in the first half? But they changed things at half time. I think it sounds like Chris Wilder got into them a little bit and they came out a lot better. And Reading, second half offered absolutely nothing, really. The forwards struggled. Marshall turned to the bench for a few attacking options, but didn't really work out. And the two goals Reading conceded were poor goals to concede as well, but it was coming. It was very much Sheffield United on top. And as soon as the first one went in, obviously Reading, you can never see him getting back into it. And then obviously Baldock turns it into his own net. That's game over. So if they perform like that again in any of the games they play this season, they'll get many points. And yeah, I get the feeling they will improve this Saturday, though. But whether that's enough to get the victory, we'll have to wait and see.
I mean, I think preparation was obviously far from ideal for that game. But I mean, I am aware we haven't thought much about Rotherham themselves and all of this. I mean, that's probably natural considering all the goings on at Reading at the moment. We will get into the view from a town end in just a minute, but looking briefly at Rotherham for a second, they're currently 20th in the league, and as mentioned, 3 points above Reading, and obviously that also means they're 3 points above the relegation zone. Last weekend, they drew 2-2 at Sheffield Wednesday. Currently, Rotherham winless in their last five, but they've also equally just lost just once in their last nine games, and that's seven draws in that period, so quite sort of a team that's quite tough to beat and quite tough to break down. I mean, it certainly does seem to be very much a collective team effort at Rotherham, fighting together sort of to survive, which certainly isn't what's happening at Reading at the moment. But Ryan Manning, Jamie Proctor, Michael Smith and Will Volks, all joint top scorers for them with four goals, so sort of no standout, key man, for them, as I say, sort of a team effort to sort of, make them hard to beat.
Yeah, very much so. Very much a team effort, I think, led by Paul Warren. That's sort of character he is. I saw him towards the end of the season. They got relegated. I think he'd just come in then. And just from seeing it for a few minutes in the press conference, you can see he's the sort of guy that will rally everyone up. He's an interesting character. So, I'm sure he's got them fired up. And, I think that's the way they have to do it there, really. That's the way you should do it, I suppose. Garner a good team spirit, and that could take you a long, long way. As we've seen at Reading, that's not quite been the case at the moment. That's why Reading find themselves where they are. Despite the fact, I'm sure most people would say on paper Reading have got the better players, maybe, but as a team, I think Rotherham at the moment look a lot stronger, a lot more difficult to beat. Like you say, one defeat in nine, that says it all, really. They don't lose many games, they grind out the points, and they struggled obviously when they went down a couple of years ago, but to bounce straight back and now perform pretty well again this season, it takes something special. And it's going to be a very difficult game. At home, like I say, they've only lost once all season, and the home fans will be right up for it, and it's going to be Reading going to have to dig in and battle and scrap and try and get everything they can out of it. And it's going to be a difficult afternoon, but if they turn up, they can win Reading. But it's that sadly is a very big if this season and for the last 12 months, really.
I mean, Paul Warren, of course, a former Rotherham player himself, so potentially, take from that what you will about whether you want someone like Phil Parkinson coming in to the Reading job. But as mentioned then, it is now time to find out a little bit more about Rotherham as we head into the view from the town end.
The view from the town end. What the opposition think?
View from the town end time now, and with Reading travelling to Rotherham on Saturday this week, I'm joined by Millers fan Richard Wilson. How's it going, Richard?
Hi, very well, thanks, Ollie.
I'll start with how the season's gone for you guys so far. Obviously, you won the League One playoff final last season to get straight back in to the Championship following that dreadful campaign 2 years ago. Currently 20th in the league, 3 points above the relegation zone, and indeed 3 points above Reading as well. You've not won any of your last five games, but equally haven't lost once in the last eight. So that's quite a lot of draws, I suppose, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. We have got a bit of a reputation lately as draw specialists. The game at Hillsborough at Sheffield Wednesday was frustrating last weekend. It was very much a case of 2 points dropped. And without sounding too biased, I think a lot of those draws have been the same sort of story. We seem to have dominated a lot of games. The QPR game at home a few weeks ago winning 2-1 until the last minute. Probably just deserved to win that game. And I think we've drawn something like 9 of our last 12 now. So it is a bit frustrating. Our away records, I think, is well publicised. I think it's something like 1 win from 36 okay. Championship away games in total, carrying over from when we were last in this league. So I think, you know, away, we just lack that bit of confidence. But when we do get a win, I would fancy us to go and get maybe 3 or 4 wins.
And I suppose, obviously, that's where the good home record comes in, I think, isn't it? I think it's 1 defeat at home all season, is that right?
Yeah, just 1 defeat. Came to Hull City, who are also down with us. We've put in some brilliant performances at home. I don't think that squad fears playing anyone at home. We've drawn at home to Stoke. We've drawn at home to Sheffield United. We beat Swansea, perhaps a bit luckily so. We beat Derby. And there's just a feel-good factor at home. We play sort of, I'll call it a unique brand of football. A lot of people might just call it long ball.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's a lot of cliches, but we do get in teams' faces, and we sort of have that League One promotion style that we've carried through to the Championship. And it's a unique challenge for teams who have to come to the New York Stadium and sort of face that directness and the physicality as well.
What were your expectations coming into the season? Obviously, you know, was it simply to, you know, sort of aim for survival, or do you think the club, you know, should try and consolidate its position in the Championship?
I think for this season, survival was obviously the main option. I think the last time we were in the Championship, everyone knew that we were down by Christmas.
Yeah.
So to be going into Christmas this time with a bit of hope and a bit of optimism is you know, a bonus. It's pretty much the most that Rotherham fans could have expected. I think it's quite a strong league. I don't think there's a standout team in the league, but I think it's competitive. And
yeah,
again, the cliche that there's not an easy game in this league for a club like Rotherham, it really does ring true. So I think just to stay up this year and then try and build. But of course, it's not easy when teams have such big budgets. And
yeah,
you know, if we do have anyone that stands out in this squad, then the likelihood is that, you know, they might get snapped up.
From the outside looking in, it certainly seems as though you're, you know, a lot more prepared this time around to stay up in the Championship. I mean, I suppose how much of that comes down to Paul Warne, obviously appointed as manager during your previous spell in the Championship, couldn't quite keep you up, but as mentioned, did win promotion at the first time of asking last year. How is he now sort of adapting to his first full season at Championship level? You know, does he seem like the right guy to keep you up?
Yeah, I think he's giving us a fighting chance. He took over during a tough period. He took over in the Championship. Obviously, Alan Stubbs didn't last very long. Kenny Jackett, 3 games? And then it was sort of handed to Paul Warne, a squad that he didn't really want. He keeps calling himself a reluctant manager because, although the results didn't really improve when he took over in that Championship season, the performances certainly did. So he obviously got himself a deal, and the change last season was incredible, really. He only had a summer to put in the players that he wanted, and the whole ethos of the squad just changed. We went from having a team of mainly journeymen, Championship players, maybe looking for a last payday, to a really young, fit, athletic, hungry squad. Probably shouldn't be a surprise because he was our fitness coach prior to that for quite a few years, and he was always renowned for his energy as a player. So he's built a team that's young, that's, you know, you can see that they enjoy winning together. Yeah. They enjoy playing with each other. And, you know, even if during some of the games, like when we are conceding in the last minute, and the difference in attitude is just incredible. And I think Paul Warne has got a lot to do with that. And the coaching staff as well is Richie Barker, played for us for a few years. Mike Pollitt, probably one of the best keepers we've ever had. Matt Hamshaw is a first team coach. He's a Rotherham guy. So I just think the squads on and off the pitch now is something that Rotherham fans can relate to.
It's interesting you mentioned that, obviously, the connection between sort of the staff and the club, because obviously Reading themselves are, you know, in the process of appointing or looking for a new manager. And there's been a bit of talk about Phil Parkinson or Graham Murty, both former Reading players, you know, potentially they might get the job. You know, how important do you think that connection between the manager and the fans is? Obviously, it helps with Paul Warne being a former Rotherham player himself.
Yeah, I think it's exactly what we needed at that time, because I think a lot of Rotherham fans were quite fearful that maybe it would take 2 or 3 years to undo the damage done in that season with Alan Stubbs. I mean, it doesn't work every time, as has been proven many times, but it's what we needed at that time.
Yeah.
And I would suggest, you know, I obviously can't talk from a Reading point of view, but if you needed a bit of a boost, if you need to stay up, then I can't really fault our model of doing things. I think on a much lower scale, it is similar to the England situation with Gareth Southgate.
Yeah,
it's a youngish guy. The connection is back with fans. You know, the angle of picking young, fit, athletic players, improving them. It's a great way of, you know, it's a good example of modern coaching. And if that's what Reading need to keep themselves up, then, you know, I know there's a few murmurs about maybe a foreign manager.
Yeah.
At that stage, maybe that's not the way to go. But, you know, from a Rotherham fan's point of view, at the minute, it's great. And I'm sure Reading would feel the benefits with someone like Murty or Parkinson.
Looking ahead to this weekend's game, and have you seen much of Reading's campaign so far? I mean, do you think it will provide much of a challenge for Rotherham at the weekend?
Yeah, definitely. I think every game in this league is a challenge for us.
Yeah.
Our only defeat came at home to Hull, which, you know, we are in a position where we can underestimate anyone.
Yeah.
And, you know, although our home record is good, we know that we're going to, in most games, we're not going to be on top of possession. We know that we might not have the best chances in every game, but I can't say that I've seen much of Reading this season, but I know that, you know, if you're thinking Rotherham are going to run away with it, then from my experience, it doesn't often go like that.
You know, if you were to win, who do you think the key players from your side should be? Who should Reading fans look out for at the weekend?
I think Michael Smith, striker, is an obvious one. He's usually played as a lone striker. Very physical, but he's good with his feet. He's not a traditional lump in that sense. He's got a lot of energy. He chases everything down the channels. He's not going to get you 15, 20 goals a season, but his link-up play and how he brings others into the game is sensational, and I'd probably say he's a key player. In central midfield, Will Vaux. He's looked a much better player since Richie Towell was re-signed on loan from Brighton. They played together in League One, and Towell coming back on deadline day over the summer, Vaux has looked back to his League One best. And finally, Ryan Manning, who was on loan from QPR. He's got a very good left foot, and set pieces are a big part of how we play. So I would probably keep an eye on him from dead ball situations as well.
Finally then, Richard, how do you see the game panning out? Can I get a score prediction for the weekend?
We don't keep too many clean sheets. So, I'll be, again, slightly biased and say 2-1 to Rotherham.
I think I'm going to go for a 1-1 draw. I mean, obviously, as touched upon, you do seem to draw quite a lot of games recently, and obviously have only been beaten once at home this season. But obviously, Reading are going into this game without a new manager in place. You know, I think, you know, with that situation being what it is, you know, is this a game, you know, you see as one really that has to be won from Rotherham's point of view?
Normally, I'd dismiss that sort of thing, but we're at a stage now where we're drawing back many games, and on paper, it looks a winnable home game for us. And, you know, I think we've got West Brom at home the weekend after, and in the longer term, we've got a nightmare run from sort of mid-March onwards to finish the season. So this is the sort of game that we need to look at now. And,
yeah.
And Yeah, must win might be a bit far, but we could do with winning.
I suppose it's about turning, you know, that 1 point into three, and you know, perhaps not conceding those late goals you mentioned against QPR, mm-hmm. for example. But my thanks then to you, Richard, for joining me on The View from the Town, and all the best on Saturday and for the rest of the season.
Not a problem. Thank you very much.
Now time then for me and Tom to discuss Reading's team news ahead of Saturday and pick up preferred lineups for the game.
Get social with the boys.
Find them on Twitter
at The Tarlhurst End
and facebook.com/The Tarlhurst End.
Welcome back to the Tarlhurst End weekend preview ahead of Rotherham versus Reading this Saturday. Injury-wise, Tom, how are things looking going into this one? I mean, a couple of first-teamers in Liam Moore and Yaku Mate both missed the Sheffield United game last week. What's the latest on them and the other sideline players, of course, as well?
It seems like, yeah, Liam Moore's going to be out for a little while. There's a calf problem that he picked up in the Leeds game, so he's still out, I think. And Saïda Talai not quite back. Yeah, Scott Marshall didn't give too much away really in the injuries, just said they're all progressing well, which obviously doesn't help us too much. But I think McShane and John O'Shea are still out as well. O'Shea okay. with his hamstring, and yeah, McShane's ongoing injury problems that he's had. In terms of Mate, they're hoping that he might be available. I think it's a bit touch and go. They're obviously managing his ankle, and it's been sort of getting worse and worse, I think. So they left him out against Sheffield United and really missed him. So if they can get him back, I'm sure they will. And the other one is Bodvarsson, who's been back training this week. So to have one of those two available would be great. Obviously, Bodvarsson's missed quite a lot of football, so whether he'd be fit to start, I think, is probably questionable. But just to have them both available for Christmas would be really useful, I think. And then in terms of the other players, Scott Marshall confirmed Dave Edwards is back in full training. I don't think he hasn't played all season, so I would imagine he'll probably maybe get some minutes with the 23s first before he's thrown back in. But yeah, he's back available. I think that's about it really in terms of the players I can think of. Obviously Liam Kelly was back on the bench last week after his illness, but he's fine. And yeah, I think the rest of them are as you were really.
All of that considered then, what would your team be for the weekend?
Yeah, it is sort of injury dependent, if you like, but I think Yakola wasn't his greatest game last week, but I think I would still stick with him in goal for now. Mm-hmm. I think the back four pretty much picks itself. There's no real options, to be honest. Yadom, Lowry, Blackett and Gunter, I think, will continue. Midfield, I've got David Myler playing, a rare appearance.
Unlike me.
Midfield, I know. It's I think it's going to be a physical game, and it's the one that, I think he could probably be useful for, maybe just for an hour, however long he can last it, along with Rinomota and Bakuna. I think they can get up and support a bit and have Myler in there. And then up front, hopefully Mate if he's fit. And then a couple of wingers, McCleary and Mo Barrow, I've got alongside Mate. So, yeah, I think there'll be pretty good options off the bench with that team as well. But I think that would be the 11 I would probably just about go with. But, yeah, it's sort of injury dependent on Mate really as to quite how they set up.
Yeah, I mean, obviously that's a 4-3-3. I'd also go back to the 4-3-3. Obviously they played sort of a 4-4-2 last weekend. It didn't quite work out. I'd have the same back five, Yakola, Yeardom, Elori, Blackett and Gunter, and we'll talk a little bit more about the defence in just a minute. In midfield, I'd have Bakuna and Rinomota as well. Surprisingly not David Myler. I'd have Liam Kelly in there as well, just to perhaps add a little bit of creativity. I mean, I think for me, if you're talking about the January transfer window, I think obviously we need to get players out first, but I think for me, what one of the priorities has to be sort of getting a creative midfielder to sort of just add some sort of attacking threat in the middle of the park. I mean, but to be honest, it's all much of a muchness for that third midfield spot, really, alongside Bakuna and Rinomota. You know, whether you have Kelly, Swift, or as you've gone for David Myler in there. I mean, I just long for the time when Saïd Ezatalahi is back, you know, because it's, you know, I think a midfield three of him, Bakuna and Rinomota could be quite promising, really. But I mean, although Ezatalahi has been included in Iran's provisional squad for the Asian Cup in January, so he might well be without him for even longer after his injury. And then up front, I'd go with McCleary, Mate as well if he is fit, and then Danny Loader as well. I mean, you've taken Loader out of your team, Tom. You know, it's probably fair to say he didn't have his best game against Sheffield United last week. You know, is it a case of sort of taking him out of the firing line, you know, because he is still only 18, you know, sort of giving him his opportunities here and there, you know, or sort of do you risk sort of damaging his confidence by taking him out? I mean, because I think to me, he's still one of the most exciting sort of options in the team and still very much, you know, a bit of a unknown entity to the opposition.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the main reason why I did it was just to add an extra midfielder, really. And yeah, I say if Mate's fit, I think he has to play at the moment, and that means Loda sort of misses out unless you do move him out to the wing. You say 4-4-2, it was more of a sort of 4-2-3-1, really. Loda wasn't really playing up front last week, and I think that probably didn't help him. He had some nice touches, but couldn't really get into the game, nor could McNulty up front. Both of them were quite anonymous, really. But yeah, I think Loda, he's done fairly well, I think. He hasn't really looked out of place, but I don't think he's particularly shone either, which that's not necessarily a bad thing, considering his age and experience in this level to come in and look like you're a part of the team isn't any mean feat. But I think I would just have a three-man midfield and a couple of natural wingers who will get wide and stay wide, and just have one striker to aim at in the middle. But yeah, I think he'll no doubt be on the bench again, or in the squad at least, and could well have some impact. He came off the bench obviously at Wigan and for his first game, and yeah, I think he's very much part of the first team squad now. It's just for this particular game, I think they might need to shore up in midfield, win the battle, and then bring on the likes of Loda, Baldock later on in the game when it opens up a little bit.
We'll talk briefly about the centre backs as well. I mean, obviously it's a slight concern at the moment with Liam Moore, Paul McShane, and John O'Shea all struggling with different injuries. I mean, it's led to Tyler Blackett and Thiago Alori sort of being the default pairing for the last two games, conceding 4 goals in that time. You know, it's obviously not the ideal situation. You know, you'd certainly want Liam Moore back in there as soon as possible. But 20-year-old Tom McIntyre has been included on the bench in the last two games, whilst Gabriel Osho was recalled from his loan spell at Aldershot last week. I mean, how much you can read into that, I don't know. But obviously, you know, with Scott Marshall in charge, you know, do you think he could perhaps favour giving one of those academy players a chance? You know, or is it a case, you know, sort of we'll have to make do with what we've got in Alori and Blackett?
Yeah, it's something I asked Scott Marshall about actually on Wednesday about the sort of the whether he is tempted to put any more of the younger guys in, having worked so well with them this season. He sort of batted that away really and said that he's not in a position to sort of think about progressing individual at the moment. He's got this big senior squad to work with. But yeah, also asked him about, obviously Osho and Barrett both came back from Aldershot this week, didn't they? So I asked if that was all with a view of bringing them into the first team, and he said that Osho, I think, has been working with the first team now. Obviously, just in terms of numbers, they're short of defenders, so there's a chance he could be involved. I think him and McIntyre are on a par, if you like, in terms of their position within the squad. So you would look at it and you'd imagine one of those two would be on the bench. You need some sort of defensive cover there, and it's not even, I don't think there's even any fullbacks is there to cover on the bench at the moment. So I'd imagine either Osho or McIntyre will again be on the bench. I think Tom Holmes has been struggling with injury as well, which obviously it could have been his chance to get back in. But yeah, whether he'll put them in to start, I think, would be a big call. If he's looked at it and thinks he needed a back five, then one of them will have to start in there, which if they're playing as part of a back three, I don't think would be a massive problem for a first game. But I think it's more likely he'll stick with the senior guys and have one of those two younger defenders on the bench. But it's great for them at the moment. They're pretty much the sort of third and fourth choice centre backs, aren't they, for the first team? Yep. So it's good for them personally. And I'm sure, like I say, one or maybe both of them will travel up there, and then one of them probably be on the bench for the weekend.
McIntyre was the only defender on the bench against Sheffield United last weekend. I mean, obviously, Omar Richards and Jordan Nabita still struggling with injury. Tanai Watson out on loan at Wimbledon, and also, as we mentioned, Moore, McShane and O'Shea all out injured as well. Prediction time then, Tom. We both said 2-1 to Sheffield United last weekend, you know, so we did both get the defeat correct, if not the scoreline. But going into this Rotherham game, what are you going to go for?
Yeah, like I say, got one right last week. I think I'm still a long way behind, so I'm going to controversially go for a Reading win just to try and push myself up the table a little bit and try and be optimistic. Like we said so many times, I know they've got the players on the day to win the game, so maybe Marshall's got something up his sleeve and the players might react and rally around a little bit behind him after the position he was put in last week. So I'm going to go for a 2-1 Reading victory.
I will say 1-1. I think it will be a tough game, especially being away from home. Obviously, you've got those points to make up at the bottom of the table. I think I'm probably third or fourth or something, so perhaps the point's not as important to me. But I think, yeah, I'm going to go for a 1-1 draw. You know, I think really that priority has to be getting a manager in place for the Middlesbrough game now. I think, you know, as it stands, you know, sort of, you know, if we don't win this weekend, and it's unlikely we'll get anything out of the Middlesbrough game. You know, sort of all the signs are pointing towards Reading being in the relegation zone on Christmas Day, which would be the first time that's happened in a long, long time.
Yeah, that doesn't sound great, does it? But yeah, say if they win this and then get a new manager for Middlesbrough, it can change. But yeah, it's, I think most people would probably be fairly happy with the point this weekend, and 1-1 sounds fairly realistic. And I think that might not be far off. Like you say, Rotherham draw a lot of games, and they'll certainly be going out for the win, I imagine. So if Reading can get a draw, I'm sure they'll be fairly content after another week without a manager. So yeah, I think we'll take a point, hopefully, or better, and then focus on hopefully the new man in charge for the Middlesbrough game, like you say.
Speaking of the Christmas period, and the next time you'll hear, or the next time you'll see, the Tireless Den pop up on your podcast feed will be our Christmas special podcast, which is being recorded next Thursday at a pub somewhere in Reading. We'll confirm the details in the next couple of days. So do come along to that if you want to get involved, sort of with the end of year awards. I'm sure we'll look back on the Rotherham game as well. Check our Twitter at Tireless Den for details on that when that goes up. It does mean that this is the final weekend preview podcast of 2018. Obviously, it wouldn't make sense to do one in addition to the Christmas podcast next Thursday. And then we'll take a break over the Christmas and New Year period before returning ahead of the big one, Reading's trip to Manchester United in the FA Cup third round. And of course, there will be plenty of content on the website over the festive period, thetirelessden.com. You know, and obviously all the reaction and analysis when Reading do finally appoint their new manager. On a similar note, Tom, what can we look forward to on the working paper in the next week or so, and of course over the Christmas period as well?
Yeah, so it says busy time coming up. We've got, I'd say that I mentioned earlier, the women's stuff is up from last night on the website now, and then we'll have preview with Scott Marshall and Gareth McCleary was speaking as well, and McCleary was speaking about the racism incident of Raheem Sterling, actually, so we'll get that up at some point, probably early next week as well. And then, yeah, all the reaction to the game on Saturday, and then building into the home game against Middlesbrough, will be at that one. And I'm actually going to be in the away end at QPR, which will be interesting. So yeah, say hello if you see me there. I'll be at that one.
I think I might be there as well, so I might say hello.
So yeah, we'll be at that one. And then, yeah, to the big Man United game on coming up in January. So yeah, head over to Wokingham.today and on my Twitter at Tom J. Crocker.
Fantastic stuff. Yeah, I mean, the Christmas period fixtures, as we mentioned, being Middlesbrough at home, Millwall away on Boxing Day, then QPR away, Swansea at home on New Year's Day, and then that United game. So when we return in January, we'll look ahead to that United game and also give a brief look back on those four Christmas games. But thank you very much then, Tom, for joining me on the Tireless Den Weekend Preview this week, and indeed throughout 2018, despite the fact that most of what we've had to talk about has been pretty miserable, I think.
Yeah, I think it's just 7 wins, isn't it, or something like that. But yeah, not a problem. Thank you as always, and speak to you in the new year.
Fantastic. And I think Simeon Pickup Bucks Royal, the Tireless Den editor, tweeted something about this week about Reading have now had more managers this year than they've had away wins, which is a very worrying statistic as well. But thank you at home for listening to this week's show as well. And if you've been tuning in right from the start of the year, back when we were the Podcast Extra before the weekend preview rebrand back in the summer, have a wonderful Christmas and a great new year. Here's to an upturn in fortunes in 2019. Come on, you Ars.
The Tirelessden Podcast.
By Reading fans, for Reading fans.